Across the Park podcast is proud to be sponsored by Globe Gas and Heating. For the best kitchen and bathroom renovations, boiler servicing and repair, and central and underfloor heating in the Northwest, head over to globecentralheating.com and quote Across the Park for a free quote. Hello and welcome to episode whatever of Across the Park podcast. My head has fell off, like I'm sure a number of Evertonians' heads have fell off. This is a bit of a special show, a reaction show, if you will, with recording Saturday afternoon. So it's not really an instant reaction. Myself, Ian Mills and Gary Judge, we did want to sort of read the room a little bit. That's why we never released the show yesterday. We spoke to some ex-players, spoke to the fan advisory boards. We've got our house in order in relation to what we want to talk about. So thanks for joining us to talk about the news that Everton have been deducted 10 points and it puts Everton joint bottom, 19th place in the Premier League. We're going to get into whether we think that's going to be a really big disadvantage and a problem for us this season. Is it something we can overcome? We're going to touch upon that. First thing I want to do, Judge, is I don't want to go into the detail just yet. I want to talk to you as a supporter. When you heard the news yesterday, what was your instant reaction to the 10-point deduction that we got?
My initial reaction is that I thought it was a wind-up. Honestly, there's been a load of stuff sent around, hasn't it, over social media. And then I was in a meeting at the time in work, and the person I was meeting with said, "Have you seen the news?" I was like, "What?" And he, it said 10-point deduction. And no way, that can't be right. Just, and then obviously, you go online and you see that it is true. It was just utter disbelief, shock, dismay. I was expecting beyond that, and then obviously just reading some of the details that it was going to be okay. This is pretty cut and dry, and you'd almost then go straight into acceptance mode, but as you alluded to at the start, that's not the case, and it's certainly not the way we feel. We feel angry, we feel dismayed, we feel let down, we feel, it's horrible. And all of the positivity around the on-field stuff has been cruelly ripped away from us as fans and ripped away from the players and ripped away from the manager, and that's, as we'll go into, and I'm sure is the greatest injustice about the whole thing.
Yeah, and look, it was always in the background, wasn't it, of our minds. We've had questions on it. Can we talk about it? And we didn't know. We've not touched it on this podcast because we didn't know. But me, Judge, I didn't expect the severity to be 10 points. Look, if you go into the detail a little bit, we've both read the minutes and we've both seen other people's reactions, and whether it be people in the media or people who just follow our podcast who wanted to get in touch with us. And the detail is that the 21-22 accounts showed a breach. The breach, for whatever reason, it looks to be related to payments towards Bramley Moor Dock. It doesn't look to be payments that Everton have possibly put into the playing staff or the coaching staff. It looks to be a payment that has gone over into the stadium. So my opinion, I think I speak for an awful lot based on our Twitter, is that can't really be a sporting breach. I get the fact that in 2 years' time, this organisation, which is a sporting organisation, is going to profit from having that stadium, and we might grow and outgrow other clubs in the league. But in the here and now, how, Judgy, can you explain to me and our listeners, how have we got a sporting sanction for what seems on the naked eye to be a non-sporting breach?
Well, there's two sides, isn't it? Again, me Evertonian head on, and that's obviously where I am and where I'll always be. You're spot on. It's not a sporting breach, and the Premier League has much acknowledged this, and as did the independent committee, that Everton have not gained a sporting advantage. They explicitly said that they've not gained. They don't believe that the club have gained a sporting advantage from the breach. And you can look at that payment, if you like, towards Bramley Moor, which has took us over the threshold. It's obviously been compounded by transfers before that and mismanagement. Yeah. I think the cold light of day is I'm not going to be the person to say, and nobody really is saying that there's no guilt here. We've acknowledged the guilt. We've admitted the fact that we're over. We kind of held our hands up there. We've been working with the Premier League for some time on it to try and make sure that we don't fall any further behind, or that we don't fall into any other traps. But yet to receive a 10-point deduction for a breach that's been acknowledged has not given us an advantage, yet they've applied a significant disadvantage to the club, to the players, to the fans, to the manager. How many times have we heard that phrase? The fans don't deserve to suffer for the mismanagement. The players don't deserve to suffer for the mismanagement. That's exactly what they've done here. They've punished the fans. They've punished the players that have played no part in this. Now, I know the players would never play a part in, I guess, transfers anyway. But if we had three or four players on that pitch, that shouldn't have been there, because we've bent the rules. We've used, you know, our financial muscle, which we maybe formerly had, to gain an advantage over opponents. Then I'm like, fair play all day. You know, we've done that. We've gained an advantage. We've won matches that we wouldn't have been able to win with those two, three, four players, or maybe even one player.
You're talking Man City. Man City levels have breached
it? Well, look, I think we'll come on to City later, and I think it's an important factor in this. But at the moment, that gives us no consolation. If anything, it makes you more angry, because City have not been dealt with. City have not been accused. City have not been... Well, there's accusations there, and there's charges potentially, but there's nothing that's even reached close to an actual formal hearing. And that's got to be addressed. Well, there'll be a lot of pressure for that to be addressed sooner rather than later. Now, I think the embarrassing thing around the timing is this is an organisation that can't even deal with this while this fixture is going on. They've had to wait until an international break to go, okay, now we bring the axe down, because we've got nothing else to do. We're talking about a multi-million pounds organisation that's profiting beyond belief, and a board that should be the elite in terms of executives of football, but we're not. We're talking about absolute amateurs and cowboys here who are nothing more than in this instance criminals. It's corruption, and you know that we've seen that word thrown about. We've seen it banded around by fan groups. They're all together now. Group have obviously come together, brought,
and we're part of that statement. We agree, yeah.
And the corruption, the word corruption has been used not only in the statement but in, you know, suggested banners, and I'm completely behind that, because you can't label it anything than corruption when the severity of the penalty is way in excess, you know, of the crime itself. The punishment does not fit the crime in any way, shape, or form. When you compare it to, you know, we know it's now the biggest penalty that's been applied in the top tier of English football. The last time anything close to this was applied was in Portsmouth, went into administration, and they were penalised 9 points. Now, administration is hundreds, thousands of people losing the job. You know, it's players not being paid, it's staff not being paid.
Showing that you cannot run a football club. Yeah, that's what it shows. Absolutely. And you get 9 points.
9 points, and we've been given 10 for a breach. A breach whilst we're also building a huge asset for the Premier League, by the way. This stadium is not... Obviously, it's going to be a benefit to Everton in the future, but this is improving the brands of the Premier League. This stadium will bring thousands and millions more pounds to that organisation.
It'll 28 bring more euros, penciled
more,
in.
More prestige to the Premier League. This is another Premier League club that's got one of the best stadiums in the world, and they've dug the knife and twisted the knife whilst we're trying to do that. It's disgusting, mate. It's disgusting.
There's loads you've said there. And just to rewind a little bit, I think that the first thing that I do want to cover is a lot of other fans. Now, everyone's got different opinions on this. We've had it in our WhatsApp groups. I expect Leeds, Liverpool, whoever, to be laughing, because I'd be doing it. I wanted Hicks and Gillette to run them into the ground 10 years ago. So I expect that. But if they take that emotion away, and I can just speak and try and take my emotion away out of it, if you look in black and white, 3 years ago, six teams tried to leave the league, and they didn't care what happened to the 14 that remained. They didn't care what happened to their own supporters. They didn't care what happened to anybody else, whether the people who had money involved in the league or whatever. They got a punishment that at the time we got told... The reason for the punishment of being a financial punishment for doing something that severe is we don't want to punish supporters. So we're now the supporters in this. Our supporters, not everybody, but an awful lot of supporters, had a movement to remove the board from the football club that is in the process of happening. The board that have been in charge whilst this breach has happened in 21-22, they're not really there anymore. I'm not going to speak ill of people, but they're not really there anymore. How is it fair that Everton Football Club and the supporters, just to rewind on what you're saying and expand on it, how is it fair that our football club that we pay money to go and watch, we take our children to, take our grandparents to, and buy gifts for at Christmas, how is it fair on us that we're now 19th with that breach?
No, it's not fair. It's not fair. And do you know what? Like you take it back to it, take it to its core, as you're referring to there, and you mentioned children. How do you explain this? Like, and I'm how can you explain? Imagine being, you know Noah or yeah. Oliver, and he's you know, obviously Oliver doesn't really look at the league table; he's 4 years old. But you know, in Noah's case, he looks at the you know, and
he'll ask a question. Yeah.
Well, why are we 19th? As we yeah. course, well, it's hard to fathom. Now you could put it in simple terms and say, well, effectively the club's cheated, and because of that they've been moved back now. Again, going back to my point before, I'm not going to say that we are completely blameless here. And as you just said before, the fans have said, we're not happy with this board. The mismanagement is not good enough. As you say, we played a huge part, not we personally, but the fans as a group and certain individuals and certain groups more so, have played a huge part in exposing this board for what it is and, you know, acting to get them removed. How that's not been taken into account and gone, well, look, exactly. let's look at the actual backstory here. These fans have exposed this board before we have. We've actually that's the mad thing about it. We as a fan group were taking action against our own board before the Premier League were, and they didn't care. You know, they were, again, it was exposure, it was whatever, Sky were covering it, but there was no comment, no action from the Premier League to say, hold on, we need to step in here and support these fans here. Because they are being mistreated, the club is being mismanaged, and they're part of our, you know, they're a member of the Premier League. No, they didn't do that. We had to battle to do that. And after we've taken that action, or after we've supported that action, and as you say, it's in process, they've then gone and using the same term again, twisted the knife. They've completely stitched us up.
Is the guilt on? Do you think there's guilt on their part? And the reason I ask that is because a number of years ago, we went to the Premier League and said we're sailing close to the wind here. For whatever reason, things aren't running too well here, and we just want to comply with you. We want to get some advice when we make signings. We want to get some advice on if you're happy with the books. All throughout that period, it seems that the Premier League had visibility on our books. At what period? Do they say, listen, you're actually about to breach? Now, the onus isn't on them to do that. I get that. But they had the visibility and they had the relationship. We opened our books. Are they not compliant to this?
You're wrong there. The onus is on them. It's their rules. We didn't understand the rules. No one understands, apart from the basic principle of the fact that you can't register more than £105 million loss. Yeah. And as you rightly say, we believed we were sailing very close to that, if not gone beyond that. We weren't trying to cover it up. We went to them 2 years ago. So from a timeline point of view, we're talking about the exact time that we believe. Yeah. They believe that breach took place. We told them about it. We could have very easily done what City done and went, let's just cover that up. Let's just not tell them about it. And let's be honest. And there's no doubt whatsoever about that. If we wouldn't have exposed ourselves and been honest and said, look, we believe there's a potential breach here. But rather than covering this up and making it more difficult for you and wrapping you up in tape, And trying to drag on this investigation for longer, we want to come clean on it, and we want to make sure that we give ourselves the best chance of the most lenient punishment, and probably give you a chance to then support other clubs with not doing the same. We've done the right thing. We've done the more noble thing. Now, again, look, there was a breach there in the first place. That shouldn't have happened. That's mismanagement. But like in every crime that happens in society, you almost get told from an early age, look, you do something wrong, you own up to it. You've got a chance of getting a less severe punishment. That's probably one of the first models you instill in your children. We've done that, and we've been hung out to dry. Mm-hmm. Now, the one thing I'll say, and I don't really want to focus on this right now because it might never ever come to fruition, and therefore I'll stop this emotion coming out for no reason, and I'll be frustrated at myself that I haven't been more angry about it. But the one thing you can probably just temper all this with is if, and it's a big if, Chelsea and City are slapped with the same relative punishment in relative terms, sorry, as us. And we're talking relegation here. We're talking absolutely 50 to 100 points, whatever that looks like. Multiple relegations, maybe. Then you might be, with the cold light today and with hindsight, looking back and going, okay, fair enough. You know, that the 10 points is nothing compared... Oh, the 10 points is relative to what they've got. And I'll go, look, fair enough. That is, it is what it is. But in the cold light today and where we are now, one, I don't believe that will be the case. I believe that somehow they'll get out of it. More so for the reason I just stated then, because they're covering it up. They're doing the best to cover it up. I haven't got faith that that board and that team at the Premier League are good enough to expose City or Chelsea. I think they'll get wrapped up in all kinds of bureaucracy and stuff like that. They'll get pressured by money, by power, because Chelsea and City sit at that table. And finally, I just don't believe that the Premier League have got the bottle to do it.
Oh, no, I don't for 1 minute believe that City and Chelsea, and this is my Evertonian hat talking here, I'll be emotive, I don't think for 1 minute they're going to get touched. I think there's going to be some, and if they do, it will be, oh, it's a financial penalty or something. There's no way a team, let's concentrate on Manchester City, and again, it's not really relative, but we've touched upon it, a team for the Premier League who are bringing, for whatever reason, eyes into the game from abroad.
The European Champions.
Bringing the best players. The European Cup is in England because of Manchester City. Some of the best players in the world play in our league because of Manchester City. I don't think they'll be touched. But what I do want to do, Judge, a little bit, is I want to go through our mitigation. Just get your opinion on if there were some valid mitigation in there, because Everton did admit a breach. They brought forward mitigation in relation to, you know, not having this severe penalty. First one I want to touch upon, and look, I'm not sure, despite working in that area, I'm not sure on what we can say and what we can't say. So we're going to stick with player X. I think everybody really knows who player X is.
Listen, it's Gylfi Sigurdsson.
Okay,
it's no problem.
Let's look upon that. So, can no longer play for Everton from July 2021. Everton had him down as an asset they could sell for £10 million or an asset that would help Everton stay further up the table and in return bring Everton more revenue in via prize money. Everton finished 16th that season without player X. Would we have finished 6th where the board predicted? I don't think so, but I think that somewhere in the middle. I think that player put goals on the board and that player would have fetched £10 million. For you, is that mitigation?
Doesn't get any better example of mitigation than that. Doesn't come any better than that. The reason being, and this is where the moral obligation of the Premier League just completely goes out the window, or it seems to be completely disregarded by them. It would have been much easier for us to expose that player and go, look, this person is being charged with something that is in breach of his contract, i.e. He's potentially committed a crime. We can terminate his contract. We can, you know, sue the player. We can sue him, exactly, yeah. So we can sue him and recover the losses, i.e. against his wages, maybe for the whole duration of his contract, because those crimes are being alleged during the contract. Now, obviously, if he's found to be not guilty, there's some potential recourse then later on down the line, but that's one option we could have taken. The second option we could have taken is just to wipe our hands of him from a welfare point of view, regardless of whether he was guilty or not guilty, and go, we're selling you. We're casting you off. We're almost saying we believe you're guilty. Mm. We took that, the morally more sensible and right thing to do as an employer and go, well, we're going to take it out of the limelight. We're going to refer to you still as player X. We're not going to, you know, throw you under the bus. We're going to look after you until the point that you're proven guilty. If and when you're proven guilty, we'll deal with that after the fact. But the point you're making and obviously the mitigation is that we couldn't field him by our own decision, by the way, but by the morally correct decision, we didn't field him to play football matches. We could have done. He wasn't found guilty of anything. He was charged.
He was internally suspended, yeah.
Exactly. If we're just looking at financial position, we took the wrong course of action. You know, if you're going to, like, it's just against the rules. It's like, that's not our problem. It's your choice. You've done that. But it doesn't seem to be any consideration of that. Now, I'm just going to briefly refer to something else, and I believe this is another example of where the Premier League are just don't give a flying... I'm not going to swear now, about players, about welfare, about anything else. Ivan Toney and Sandro Tonali, two other examples again. Now, Sandro Tonali is slightly different, as his charges lay with the Italian FA or whatever, but the Premier League have got the muscle and got the power to be able to keep that under wraps and protect Sandro Tonali, who, whether we like it or not, we're not going to go into a whole podcast about gambling here, is a sick man. He's got an addiction. Ivan Toney has got an addiction. No one in the right mind puts themselves in that position of risk as a professional footballer or a professional person unless you've got an addiction. And they both admitted those addictions. No, the Premier League hangs them out to dry, gives them certainly in the case of Ivan Toney, suspends them, gives them a ban for whatever, 12 to 18 months, whatever Ivan Toney is. What kind of message that sends out to any other player, footballer, who's got an addiction, who thinks that, you know what, I actually want to come forward? No, why would I want to come forward when other players are being exposed, being banned and being thrown under the bus for it? Again, the Premier League doesn't give crap about anyone.
No, what we were told yesterday in a very grey fashion was you should have sued that person and fuck his welfare.
Yeah, and what, look, it wouldn't have been an exaggeration to suggest he probably took his own life, and that's a dramatic thing to say, but
it's a possibility.
And
Everton, he was an employee of Everton Football Club who had not been found guilty of a crime. And now, in a very grey fashion, we're being told, well, one of your options was to sue the shit out of him. I just don't.
Horrendous.
Look,
horrendous. Listen, and just to go back briefly to it, this is an organisation, the Premier League, that has got filthy rich and has taken, again, millions, billions of pounds off people. The people here are the assets, the players are the assets that make the Premier League what it is. Now, the fans obviously are part of that. So the two groups of people that the Premier League seems to consistently throw under the bus and show any lack of regard for are the people and the players. The fans and the players. Fans by instances like this, and the players by instances of consistently putting fixtures at inappropriate times, making them play games when they're running themselves into the ground. And the minute that someone falls out of line and doesn't act in the exact robotic way that they want them to, they expose them and turn them into scapegoats for their own benefit, to say, look, that's not what the Premier League is. He's done things that are outside their rules, therefore we're going to expose them, we're going to punish them. Not thinking, again, of anything remotely like the medium to long-term picture of what that does to the rest of the players who are in that situation and what future impact it has on them. It's disgusting, mate.
Yeah, and the more you talk about it, we had a joke this morning. I woke up ready. I knew we were doing this podcast, and I got angry within half an hour of being awake just talking about it again on the WhatsApp groups. The more we talk about it now, it just doesn't make any sense. And again, if other fans are watching this laughing, I'd be laughing as well. Look, more mitigation, Judgy, just to go through Everton's points again. They talked about post-planning interest charges on the stadium going up, and that should be considered capital expenditure. I'm not an expert on that. Look, if they're talking about COVID prevented Everton from player trading, I personally don't think that. I think that applies to everybody. I think we're swinging.
I think that particular mitigation, everyone got given an extra,
exactly,
basically a bigger buffer for COVID. So I don't think that's relative for me.
Yeah, we've touched upon this already, but I'll just say it. Everton say that they cooperated fully and openly for a number of years. So that is mitigation, that we came to the Premier League. Another one is that
they've used that again, though. They've just used that with a stick to slap us with, to go, you gave us all that information, you've hung yourself out to dry, so we're just going to, again, put the final nail in the coffin.
Yeah, but the last two, I want to focus on the last one. Before I get to the last one, we've looked at the Ukraine invasion, specifically saying it affected Everton's key stakeholders, which we all know by now. Alexander Usmanov was sitting, not indirectly, he wasn't at the main stands, but he was at a very, very heavy interest in Everton Football Club. And look, I don't think Everton can play that card because of the denial of that they had that. Usmanov was part of it. You can't have your cake and eat it. But what I will say is I think one of the biggest mitigation here is that we have shown over the last 3 years in the PSR or the FFP timescale, we have shown adjusted losses. And it shows that we are addressing the issues financially. Our books now, compared to 2 years ago when we said we're in trouble, are a lot, lot better. So we've gone to them. We've said, but for whatever reason, we're about to not comply. Without you giving us a sanction, we're going to get better. We're telling you what we're going to do. And the books now show it. That, for me, is massive mitigation.
Yes and no. If I'm going to just listen to that, those points in the cold light of day. You can't walk out the house. I can't walk out the house now, get into my car, run someone over, by being reckless. And then, you know, obviously stop my car at the side of the road or whatever and still not be punished for it because I've drove well for the next 2 years. That doesn't mean you're exempt from punishment. So I don't believe you can say that just because we behaved well after the sanction, that it means that we're exempt from punishment. Because look, everyone deserves a second chance. And you know, the argument would be giving us 10 points means we've still got a chance of staying up. It's not the end of the world for us. However, I still don't think that means we don't get a punishment at all. It's the severity of the punishment. And as you say, I think the other mitigating circumstance for me is probably a more significant one.
Yeah, look, I wouldn't go with the severity of killing someone with your car. I'd liken it to maybe like my little boy saying to me, look, there's a jar of cookies.
Right, knock someone over then.
I took three cookies from that jar last night and you told me not to. And then a week later, he tells me, look, I haven't touched any anymore. I've learned my lesson. I'm doing well. I think there's mitigation in it, but look, and this is why we do this podcast. Because
again, you can't not punish someone for something.
No, but the severity of it should be very different.
No, you're right. Yeah, killing someone's probably not the right word, but like knocking someone down or doing something you can easily avoid by being proactive. Like, say again, go back to making more relevant. If I get in that car and I'm on my phone, and I go and hit someone and injure them seriously or whatever, and you know it's. I go, listen, sorry about that. I was on my phone. I shouldn't have done it. I'm not going to do it again. I don't do it again for the next 2 years. Mm. Doesn't mean that when I go into court that I'm not going to get a punishment. But again, yeah, to point it out, it's the severity of the punishment that should be altered based on your future behaviour and your willingness to rehabilitate, if you like.
I just want to put a sidebar here because I'm looking at my phone because I've got my research on my phone. Not being rude, sorry, but... Matt Hughes from the Daily Mail has once again put an article out, an anti-Everton article. Everton face a further 9-point deduction if we're plunged into administration. Burnley are coming for you. Matt, I don't know if you watch our show. Switch off your blurt. We don't want you watching it. Whatever agenda you've got against us, just do one. Honestly, you're blurt. I hope you're out watching. Turn off, blurt. Anyway, Judgy, where do we go from here?
Do you know what's funny about that again, though? Like, all this thing of like clubs coming after us. The statement is clear. We've not gained a sporting advantage. What right do you have to think that you would have stayed in the league? You weren't good enough to stay in the league. You got relegated. Get over it. It's the most.
We gained no sporting advantage from building a stadium that's not ready for another year. Yeah.
Show us the player we bought that scored that goal against you to put you down, and we go fair enough. That didn't happen. We didn't have players on that pitch that we'd illegally illegally acquired. And that's not what we've been accused of doing. So you're right, 2-1. It's pathetic. You're trying to score points. They're trying to obviously gain some attention and publicity from it. And it's embarrassing.
He's a bad tool. Look, where do we go from here? We've now hit 19th position, which is joint bottom. If every result goes our way next week, including ours, we're out the zone. It's not as damaging to me in the cold light of day as what it would have been last season. I do think the standard of the teams in this league are a lot poorer than other teams. We had a fight last year with Leicester. I don't think we'll fight with Sheffield United. I think they're gone. I don't think we fight with Burnley. I think they're gone. Luton will sink their teeth into some teams. Do you think this, straight question, has this got the potential to relegate us this season?
Of course it's got the potential to relegate us. And I'm not completely buying into the narrative that, oh yeah, you know, these three teams are crap. Yeah, they are at the moment, but how many seasons, how many times have we seen teams start the season poorly and just gain a little bit of momentum? We've seen it. I think Sheffield United have seen a little bit of encouragement over the last few weeks. They got a draw at Brighton. I think Luton have took points off Liverpool. They took points off us. They'll start to gain encouragement. They'll absolutely get encouragement from this because those three, and this is the biggest factor, those three psychology, we're thinking, we're already 7 points adrift here, 6 points adrift. They've now pulled someone into it. They've now got an advantage on one of those teams. So it's definitely given them hope, without doubt. There's no question about that. Luton will be looking at going, we beat them at Goodison. Why can't we beat them at home? That's another game where they potentially get another 6 points on us, 3 points against us and 3 points against, you know, in their favour. So I'm not taking any, at the moment, immediate comfort from the fact that there's three, four teams down there. I would prefer, in terms of where we go now, to turn this on the Premier League, turn this on the other teams, turn it on the ones who are trying to twist the knife in, particularly Burnley. They can do one. I hope they finish with the lowest tally ever. I hope they get smashed every week Vince and company can go back and down the championship and win loads of games again, because they belong in the championship. They're a small club, and that's where they belong. That's why they're in the championship in the first place, and that's where they will be next season. So I prefer that we just turn it on them now. We continue, as I've heard a lot of people say, continue to win football matches, continue to show the rest of the league that this is where we belong. And I believe that the internal comms, if you like, and the internal attitude and the players and the fans is, this is not phase. It's players and the management team, this isn't phasing us. You know, we feel we're more than good enough to you know, to overturn this and to get out of trouble. I think if it, you know, if I was the players or the fans and the players or the manager, sorry, I'd be thinking, look, we're in the quarterfinals of a cup competition. You know, we're two wins away from being in a similar position to where we were before. Let's be honest, we didn't harbour major ambitions to be qualifying for Europe this year. So if we finish between, still ends up finishing between 15th and 10th, makes no real difference anyway. So I don't believe 10 points and the context of the 10 points, it's not me thinking about those three teams and how poor they are. It's me thinking that I don't think it makes a huge difference in terms of what the outcome, overall outcome of the season is. I still believe we could be in a cup final. I still believe that we're good enough to stay away from relegation. But I don't think we should be looking at it in relation to the three teams. I think we should be looking at every other team in the league, thinking, let's go out and show them that who we are and you know what we're about as a club. And the fans can go a long way to fighting that fight, as we always have.
And our fans are so special. What, like 12k raised on banners in 12 hours? And Goodison next Sunday is going to be a bear pit. If anybody's seen the scenes when Everton fans, when they're all together now, campaign first started, and it was the Arsenal game, wasn't it? Judging where they'd done the march, and it looked like the crowds for Elton John at Glastonbury, you know, walking down Spellow Lane. That's nothing. Wait till Goodison Park. I wish it was today. And it's going to be siege mentality. I think the club, Judgy, just to close out a little bit, the club, and I don't believe that this is a reason that we shouldn't have had, that, you know, the timing of this shouldn't be affected by this, but the club, it's an interim period. We have an interim board. We have people trying to buy us, and the interim board can only say or do so much. But I was quite impressed with Colin Chong's statement yesterday. Yeah. He came out yesterday and he said, we're fighting for Evertonians. We're here now. No, it's not fair on you, and we'll fight for you. We need more of that, don't we? Everton have to be aggressive now in their defence.
Absolutely, Aaron. I completely agree with you. He really shown probably some of the leadership skills and inspiration that we haven't seen for a long time at that level. So it's encouraging that we've got someone like him fighting the fight, and I believe he will fight the fight. I also believe, if I'm going to be honest, that given already the huge amount of publicity and outrage that's come out against the point deduction, I also believe, also given the caveat that a lot of them people are also mentioning, go on then, what are you going to do to City and Chelsea? I think it'll definitely make them believe, are we best reducing this here? Because we're not going to be able to come down on them other clubs with the severity that we'd like to. So, you know, we're going to be made to eat our own cake if we don't, you know, kind of reduce that. So I do believe the ban will be reduced somewhat. I think it'll be 6 points. From what I believe and what I'm told, 6 points is the minimum that you can get docked. If you're going to get a point deduction, it's a minimum of 6 points. So people suggesting that it should be 3 points, regardless of your opinion on that, that's not going to happen. Can't happen. 6 points is the very minimum. If you're found in breach and they believe that a point deduction is what should be applied, then 6 points is the minimum. I do believe it will end up at 6 points. However, it still doesn't stop us. I think it still doesn't stop us as a club, and this might sound bizarre, making the most of this. For once, for this period of the last 6 or 7 years, and maybe slightly less than that, but certainly the last 3 years, we've been so divided. Fans, players, manager. We either hate the players, we either hate the manager, or both of them. We hate the hierarchy. We're now all in the same boat for the first time in a long time, and that could be the worst thing that could happen to those teams around us. It could be, and it certainly would be the worst thing that can happen to the teams that are going to come to Goodison over the next few weeks. They're going to see a wounded animal, the most wounded animal you've seen in a long time, and it'll be very difficult to come up against. The players will feel it. They'll feel that support, that aggression, and it'll course through them, and it'll make, as you said, Goodison a bear pit. It'll make it a very, very difficult place to come, and hopefully a place that'll help us to, you know, to replicate that away form that we've had. And I've said it for a few weeks, and it's mad because I said I really wish Goodison could be the same as those away ends. I think this could give us that injection that we haven't had for a long time, and that's because we've got that united front. Everybody believes that we've been, you know, that we've been punished, you know, unjustly, and everyone is fighting for that same cause.
At a larger scale, I'd liken it to going down to 10 men in the game. You get behind your players more, don't you? And now, when those players run out on Sunday next week, I know we're doing a preview with the Manchester United channel next week, but when those players run out, when those sirens hit and those drums on Zed Car's hits, I think the Premier League anthem will be booed to death during a handshake. And I think the whole grounds will be standing, and I think there will be a massive, massive togetherness. And whether that lasts the whole season, whether that lasts just until we get out of it, which could be maybe March or April, and I hope that's the case, I do think now, I think the bear's been poked. I think the bear has been poked. And look, this has got the potential to open huge cans of worms for other clubs, other teams. It's hit us hard at the minute. Me and Judgy reacting a day later emotionally. Judgy's more informatively, which is why we've planned the podcast this way for me to host it. Judgy, before I sign off, do you want to add anything else to our viewers?
Not really. Again, just other than what I've just stressed, then is you know, we've always stepped up as a fan base when the clubs needs us, whether it's to, as we said before, take apart the boards or get behind the players to help keep them in the league. This is a chance early for all of us to come together, and I said it last week before this had all come out, that it's probably the first time in a while that you look at those players and think they actually care. You look at the manager, and regardless of what you think of his tactical acumen or whatever, he cares. And I think he's got the right attitude, and he's the right person at the right time. And again, if you put it simply, if you align the managers up together in the Premier League and you say which one of those is going to win in a fight, Sean Dyche will probably be right at the front. So if there's one person I think that we could have to fight our corner and to really show that same level of character spirit that the fans are showing, I think it is Sean Dyche. So I'm actually, you know, happy that he's there at the front of things. And I'm hoping, as you said, when we come to that pre-match conference and, you know, any of the conversations he's having with the players, that he's doing his best to turn this huge negative, and let's not get it twisted, this huge negative and this huge disadvantage into the biggest advantage that we've had in a while.
Yeah, I couldn't have said it any better. I'll sign off by saying this is not a small club. This is not a small fan base. This isn't Burnley. This isn't Leeds. This isn't Leicester. This is, we are no mugs. Whether we've had opinions, divided opinions about our club, players, whatever, you just poke the bear. And as Judge said, we're together now. If anybody happens to be watching from the Premier League, I don't care. Come after this podcast. We don't make no money anyway. You corrupt, spineless bastards. It's selective punishments against Everton Football Club when you've chose to turn a blind eye to the Big Six in the past. And I bet you turn a blind eye to two of them again. You're so corrupt. Everton, aren't we? Up the fucking toffees.